This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
All right. Happy Tuesday today. Good afternoon. Welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And you are listening to 107.7 WTPL FM. You can also stream us around the world at WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And happy Tuesday, Mike.
Well, happy Tuesday to you as well. And I think you and I have are fighting colds right now.
I know.
Catching a little scratch in your, voice.
Happened.
I've been gargling with salt water this morning, and I just had a stick of butter for lunch. So it feels, it's kind of lubed up the vocal cords.
There you go.
Just little tricks I've learned along the way.
Really?
In the broadcasting business. But you know,
didn't fry that butter?
Oh, no, I didn't. Didn't have time. It was busy morning. Had to play with the dog. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
You got your dog here today.
I do today.
So, yeah, beautiful day walking up Elm Street, enjoying the sun, which we haven't had a whole lot of since I've been coming down here. And people just have a little extra spring in their step, and it's nice.
Yeah.
But the big hunks of snow are gone. You're not getting your feet wet when you walk around. So spring, the rumor is, we'll be here. I think Friday we're in the 60s.
Yes, 58, they're saying. So that's awesome.
So we need to take the show up to Lake Winnipesaukee and just dangle our feet off somebody's dock.
There you go. My gosh, that would be fun.
No kidding. Yeah. I also noticed in the building here, the Beacon building where we are located on Elm Street, is I see a bunch of kites. Did those just go up, or have they been there and I just missed them?
They were up last week, and my brother, that's like his yearly decorations, I guess, at springtime, and he had them up for the spring fling we had on Friday night.
Very nice. This is kind of an open inside building. It's hard to describe it, but you know, no matter where you are, you can see all through the center and see the offices. And so it's cool that he does the decorations.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Makes for a very nice.
You should see it at Christmas time.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
I can wait for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I'm not
sure.
Not ready for Christmas yet. Hey, what are the food holidays today? I'm always excited to see what you've got for that.
Kind of strange. I don't know where they come up with these. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Today is National Clams on the Half Shell Day.
Okay.
Clams, right. And it's also Tater Day.
All right.
And it's also National Week. Oh, actually, it's UK Canned Food Week.
United Kingdom?
Yes.
Canned Food Week?
Yes, Canned Food
Week.
Well,
we need that one to go away.
Yeah, exactly. No kidding. You would think that that wouldn't be on there, but it is.
Yeah, the British, I mean, and I don't think it's probably fair to them, but they just don't have the best reputation for food. Now, I've never been to England, and I'm sure there are places where it's really good, but you can come to this country and get some really stinky food, too. So
true.
They just get kind of a bad rap.
Do they really?
Oh, they do. You just hear people make fun of English food all the time.
Okay.
And I don't know where that comes from, and I'm sure it's very stereotypical, but if you've ever been to England, give us a call and tell us if the food is really good or bad.
There you go.
Sure. 866-823-1077. You know, just because we don't say you can call, excuse me, anytime you like. It's a toll-free 866-823-1077. All right. So those are the food holidays that I won't be celebrating any of those.
I hope I don't think mind. So. I do like. Do you like clams on the half shell, though?
I'm not a huge fan of that. And I know it's very good, and I've had it. Again, it's that Midwest meat and potatoes upbringing.
Okay.
And I have spread my wings substantially with a lot of seafood here. That's not been one of them that I go out of my way to have. But, you know, if somebody threw a plate in front of me with a Bloody Mary, I would probably do both.
And do you like spicy?
I do. I love spicy.
Oh.
Spicier the better.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, you're my kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Daryl and I both love spicy. And what I like with my oysters on the half shell is putting a little sriracha on them.
Oh, yes.
Instead of cocktail sauce.
Yeah.
Lemon, sriracha, horseradish.
That's
yum.
That's really a great little condiment that seems to have gotten popular the last couple of years. The people that are the biggest producers of them out in California had to close down.
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. When I heard that, I was devastated. But You'll have to try this new. It's new because we have sriracha at the diner right
Good.
Now until supplies run out.
Okay.
And we are replacing it with a local, Mano Fuel. I'll have to give you a couple of bottles.
Well, who makes that?
His name is Mario Fiel. He's been on the show, and he's going to be at the Made in New Hampshire show that's coming up soon in April. And we've replaced that actually we are in the process of replacing our sriracha with Mano
Fuel. With his product?
And it's all organic.
That's
There's
wonderful.
There's three different ones, and they are delicious. They taste like They make them in very small batches.
Sure.
And it's all fresh ingredients, and they just, it just tastes fresh. Really, really good.
I love that.
Oh, you're going to love it. I can't wait to get you some.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can just put it on your eggs or whatever.
Anything.
You know what I've been doing is I'll take a little sriracha and put it in with the mayo when I make a tuna sandwiches.
They do that.
They do that
Midtown
up here?
Cafe?
Really?
They do.
Wow.
They do. There's certain sandwiches that have it, and they'll make it, you know, for
the
day.
Yeah. You can't overdo it. And it actually kind of turns it pink when you say, oh, wow, that's not what a tuna looks like. But
Subway even has it. I mean, I don't eat at Subway very often,
right.
But, you know, once in a while. And they have some sriracha mayo. There that you can choose.
Oh, they do.
They do.
Yeah, they had to close the sriracha factory down in California because it was such intense, the stuff that was venting out. It was burning people's eyes in the neighborhood. And so I'm not sure what they did. They had to go in and probably redo their filtering system or their exhaust system. Otherwise, they'd have been out of business. And I think they were the main producers.
They were. They definitely.
I don't remember the name of the company.
I want to say, I think they had like a smaller location in Texas or something.
Did they?
I think so. Hmm. I'm not sure. But
well, that's yummy. So here's a little bit of news that's kind of interesting. It's fun to see what's happening in the world of news. As part of McDonald's I'm Loving It 24 campaign, 24 cities around the world have been doing random McDonald's things like creating clotheslines and hosting pajama parties.
Really?
I don't think locally. But one of the cooler activities for this came from Copenhagen, Denmark, where they put up a McBike-through as customers were able to roll in on their bicycles and get McDonald's without fear of being run over. And you just opened your drive-through at Red Arrow in Londonderry. They even pack the food and drinks in bike-friendly boxes and hang from the bike's handlebars for convenience.
That's pretty
cool. Well, it's a great idea. I mean, this is not – well, I mean, I know there's a lot of bike-riding people in New Hampshire, but I don't think there's that many businesses that really
cater to
bike riders.
Right, right.
But that's a great idea, and much of Europe is very much into bike riding.
Yes.
A lot more than the Northeast is. And have you heard what the latest McDonald's proposal or project is? Is they are talking about having the Egg McMuffin available, you know, all day, instead of just they cut it off at 10:30.
Right.
Now, of course, in the diner world, you can get breakfast, you can get whatever you want. So this is, I mean, you've been doing that. That's your deal. But for McDonald's, which because they say the grill, you can't go in at, say, 2 in the afternoon and ask for an Egg McMuffin because the grill isn't equipped to handle, you know, the burgers and the other stuff, and then the Egg McMuffins. So they've got to, I guess, retool in some of the stores. But it's going to be, they're going to experiment with it in a few places. And then, you know, because people love breakfast.
Of course they do.
Breakfast for dinner. Is there anything better once in a while?
Dinner for breakfast and, I mean, just, all different crazy things.
Did you ever try the McDonald's McRib sandwich?
No.
Wasn't that good?
Ew.
No. But they brought it back a couple of years ago for some reason. I tried it, I think it was in the 80s. And, it's just not that good.
I have to tell you something. It's not about McDonald's. We're going to change subject.
Okay.
All right. Are you done with McDonald's?
I'm done. Thank you.
Are you sure?
I am. Yes. Thank you. You're so polite.
Oh, jeez. This is a new website that I came across last week.
Okay.
This is so cool. And I didn't want to report on it until I did my actual first meal, but it is called plated.com, P-L-A-T-E-D, plated.com. And you get this box. So they're running a special for new customers that if you pay for two dinners, you'll get four free. They come in twos. Okay. So, it's Daryl and I at home. I cook for two, but, sometimes you end up cooking big amounts and you have leftovers.
Yes.
This, zero leftovers. You pick your menu. Each week, the menu changes. It gets delivered right to your door, all in a thermos container and with, ice packs in there.
Yeah, right. Dried ice.
And, here, check this out.
Okay.
That was the meal that I made last night.
Which one?
Flip it over.
Oh, there it is. Crispy lemongrass pork and long life noodles and sriracha chicken broth.
And look,
that
now, Mike,
really
here's
good.
The picture of mine, which, right? Doesn't that look?
Yours looks, I like the colors in yours better. So it's a lot
mine's
richer.
Maybe a little richer. You know why? Because that one's probably the whole one, and this was in half.
Right.
But the portions were so good. It tells you exactly how to cook it, what to do. All the ingredients are there. Everything.
I'm going to guess. I
Very
love
cool.
the idea, but probably expensive. I mean, a lot more than you would pay if you went out and bought the stuff.
Yes, but again, now, no waste. It's $12 per meal.
And that's for two, right?
No. It's $12
per person.
$24.
Okay. Well, you know, there were a couple of businesses in the Manchester area that were doing that exact thing. One was over in Bedford near the Land Rover place.
Dream Dinners?
Yeah, I think Dream. Yes, I think that might have been it. And I think they were there for 3 or 4 years.
Are they not there anymore?
I don't think so. Mm. I don't think they are. Then there was another one up where La Coretta is.
Gino's right near
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. Yep. Exactly. And that one didn't last long at all. So the idea was where you would go in. And you could prep your meals for an entire week. They had all these bins, and you would take your ingredients. You would mix them. You would take them home and either freeze them or keep them cold.
Right.
And then all you would have to do is heat them, which, you know, when you mention that it's available now, I don't know if it's going to succeed as something you send away for. I mean, it looks great. Did it taste good?
It tasted delicious.
So
it had all the ingredients, wow. And it took all the directions. All the ingredients came with it. It was delicious. And that one had sriracha in it, too.
Oh, it did. Well, there you go.
The little packets of sriracha.
The mystery ingredient.
Yes. But it tasted fabulous. And,
okay.
And you know, and you're still cooking.
Yes.
You're still putting it together. And so.
Very cool. Plated.com is the website. Have a look at it. In just a moment, we'll be talking with a woman who was in a bankrupt situation with her family, started a small food business. Well, I don't want to tell you what happened after the No Pudge Brownies success story, but it's pretty interesting, and it has New Hampshire roots. And we'll be talking to Lindsay Frucci on the other side of the break here in just a couple of moments. You're listening to The Pulse, Food for Thought, 107.7 WTPL. Be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, and we're live at the Beacon Building, and you are listening to 107.7 WTPLFM.com, and we'd like to just take a moment to thank our sponsors, Express Jewelry Center right in Concord, ExpressJewelryNH.com, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, you can check them out at IntegrityFit.com, and Celeste Oliva, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars. You have to check that out too, Mike. She has the best olive oils.
Cool.
Delicious.
I'm there. Hey, we need to do one of these, like in the newspaper, when you make a mistake, there's a little box that says correction. This was my fault because I basically buried Dream Dinners in Bedford thinking that they were no longer in business. I do believe it's other people that are running it or new franchisees. But Dream Dinner's still very much alive and well. And that's good to hear because it means that people are taking advantage of a good way and a healthy way to take care of dinners. And we would love to have them on sometime because you told us about the one that you are dealing with online. And, you know, let's keep it local when we can.
That's right.
Dream Dinner still in business. Want to say hello to a longtime friend of mine, a woman who now living on Long Island in New York is an author and now selling real estate. But boy, what an interesting roller coaster life she has led. She wrote a book called The Pig and Me, a memoir tired of hearing you can't. One woman sets out with a pan of brownies and a skinny pink pig to prove that she can. Lindsay Frucci joining us on the lines here on The Pulse this afternoon. Hello, Lindsay.
Hey, Mike. It's good to hear your voice. It's been a while.
Thank you. Yours as well. Say hello to Carol Lawrence, owner of Red Arrow Diners here in New Hampshire.
Hi, Carol.
Lindsay. Hi.
Well, it's been a while. I met you a couple of years ago doing a class teaching authors how to get publicity for new books they had written, and I got yours, and I looked at it, and I said, this is a great story. It's got all the makings of really a lot of drama, a lot of success, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. And just fill us in before we get into your story, what you're doing now, Lindsay.
We live on the east end of Long Island, not too far from the beach, which has been quite a treat, having never lived near the ocean. And I'm selling homes for a company by the name of Corcoran. People have heard of Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank.
Oh, yes.
Another famous woman entrepreneur, or another woman entrepreneur, I should say. She started the company from nothing, which appealed to me. She has since sold it for a lot, but the company still bears her name and, you know, her inspiration. So I'm working for them.
I like her. I've interviewed her before at a past radio station. And it's a shame that they didn't have Shark Tank. I don't think back when you were creating No Pudge Brownies back in the 90s, that would certainly have been a place to give you a nice, nice push when you got things started.
You know, a ton of people have said that to me, and you're right. Unfortunately, they didn't. Would have been great. It would have been a nice boost, national TV.
Well, the story of The Pig and Me, a memoir, really begins way before No Pudge Brownies, which is a product that when I mention it to people, there's still a lot of awareness, even though you don't own it anymore. What led to you creating this, and what happened in your family that made you realize you need to make some more money?
Well, we had my husband's business failed in the late 80s, and it was real estate development. You know, the economy tanked way back when. And so his business went under, and we had to file for bankruptcy. And we were struggling. I mean, he had gone back to work full time. We were living in Elkins, New Hampshire, outside of New London, in an old farmhouse, and I was selling real estate then as well. But we were struggling. And in my head, I got the idea that I needed to do something to make things better. I needed to help in some significant way, and therefore I decided that I needed to start a business. I had no idea what that entailed. I had no idea what it meant. But in my naive little brain, the idea was that if I could start a business, I could make a ton of money and make everything better. And it doesn't quite work that way, but it sounded good at the time.
Good for you. I mean, that sounds, I think it's just amazing how you've, what you have done. And you know, when you mentioned Elkins, New Hampshire, isn't Elkins, it's such a cute little town.
It is.
So cute.
Well,
it's just like when you open a storybook. I just love Elkins.
Yeah. Little village. It's lovely. It was a difficult place though, from the point of view of starting a business, because you're so far removed from anything that probably was a point of difficulty, but it's not something insurmountable for anybody who lives out there in the boonies.
If you could make this happen from Elkins, you could make it happen anywhere. But weren't you somewhat known in your family for creating these brownies that were much more calorically low, and people found them very tasty, that they really almost couldn't tell the difference, and that sort of got you going, didn't it?
Yeah, they were actually, it was the idea of adding the yogurt that made them very different and unique. Mm-hmm. And they were actually fat-free. They weren't low sugar, they were fat-free. And made completely all natural, made from things that I had in my kitchen, and even the mix ended up being created from things, from ingredients that were easily readable. There were no added bizarre anything that you almost could find in your kitchen. And the only thing that I added when I created them, and that the consumer had to add once the product was out there, was fat-free vanilla yogurt. And that was it. Just mix and bake.
So, Lindsay, you get this all going, you got it perfected, you start batching it up, and you start very small. And eventually you were able to get into supermarkets to at least do demos, but that was really hard work, wasn't it?
It was enormously hard work. It really was. Once we got the product up and running, I traveled all over from northern Vermont to Boston, south of Boston, doing demos. And for anyone, the next time you're in the grocery store and there's a demo dolly, a demo lady, passing out ingredients, at least look her in the eye. At least acknowledge her existence, because most people don't. And it's hard, and you're dragging from my product, I had to bake brownies. So I had to bake the day before, pack everything up, drive 3 hours more in each direction to stand for 2 hours in a grocery store. But I was committed. I was really committed. So, I was going to do this come hell or high water. I was going to make it work. And I still look back and am kind of blown away the belief I had that I could make it work. And I did.
It sounds like you definitely did. Now, from that point when you were, like you said, making your brownies at night, packing them up, going to the grocery stores, how long from that point till you sat and you said, oh my gosh, I did it. I did what I, you know, was out to do. You know, you said you needed to make a difference. You needed to come up with something. How long did that take for you to do that?
I would love to tell you that it was, you know, a short period of time, but it was years, Carol. It really was years. Before I really had the aha moment that said, I did this. And I actually have a story that I can tell you that very quickly that sort of led me to that moment. And I had had a buyer for a very large prestigious chain in New York City tell me at one point in a very condescending and not kind tone of voice that I would never get my product into New York, that it was not a New York City product and that this chain would never buy it, and basically saying, you know, you're a housewife with a little something, go home. And about 3 years later, when we were in every single one of those stores, by the way, this gentleman, I was at a trade show, and he was there, and I looked down, and when people like, when buyers from these big chains walk a trade show, every vendor who's there is on high alert. You know, you want these people, this man, to come to your booth. And he had an entire entourage, and it was the owners and senior team from this chain, from this grocery chain, with him. And they're walking down the hallway or the aisle, and they come to my booth, stop in front of me, and he looks at me and he said, I owe you a huge apology. I was
Thank
wrong.
God.
You know, you have done this. You have turned this. You know, the product is, No Pudge is selling incredibly well at this chain, and they are thrilled. And he, you know, indicated everybody that was with him. And they're all beaming. I mean, beaming. Because I'm looking at him, as you can imagine. And he said, I was wrong. You know, you have made this into a real business. And that's when I think that was probably my aha moment that said, wow, you know, that I'm getting the respect of a real company. And that's not easy to do. And the grocery industry is very difficult. And by the time I sold No Pudge, I will say, quite honestly, I did have the respect of the industry. And that was a pretty nice feeling, you know?
No thanks to people like him, though, huh? I mean, you did it yourself, let's be honest.
Right. Right. Yeah.
There must have been a lot of times when you got your family involved, you know, packaging things and initially.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
yeah. Did your husband help and
no.
your family?
No, he did not. There was, as I talk about in the book, there was resistance from that corner from day one, very serious resistance for quite a while. My boys, I have two sons, and yes, they were put to work. At an early age, they were elementary school then, and they were put to work at an early age because I also created a mail order business because when I started the company, you couldn't get it outside of New England. So people started to hear about it, and I would get calls from all over the country. How do I get this stuff? My sister told me about it. She brought me three boxes in her suitcase when she came to visit. How do I get it? And that just very organically began a mail order business that I had no intention of doing. So yeah, my boys were definitely put to work. And then I ended up hiring friends of theirs because as they got older and by the time they hit high school, they wanted nothing to do with it. But I actually was able to provide part-time jobs to a couple of their friends to work for me in high school.
So what does your husband say now? Like, you know, looking out, you know, out looking in, what did he say when you had that aha moment, how was he at that time?
Yeah, he would. Things had changed. Things had definitely changed. His aha moment had actually come earlier than mine because I had been interviewed by the Wall Street Journal and then forgot about it because I hadn't heard anything more about it and just kind of, and he was traveling to New York City on business and got into a cab at the airport at LaGuardia, and on the seat next to him, often, as it often happens, was a copy of the Wall Street Journal. And he picked it up, and above the fold on the front page was an article about women entrepreneurs, and it started with Lindsay Frucci of Elkins, New Hampshire. And he almost flipped.
That is the coolest story.
Isn't that amazing?
And
of course, you know, once in as he went on calls that he was making at appointments that day, in New York City, the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times are on the table in every waiting room, in everybody's office. And so he, every time he turned around, there I was. It was beautiful. It was
right in his face.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was about as good as it got.
Wow. There's more to the story. First, Lindsay, is the book still in print or is it available?
It's still available on Amazon.com in both print and Kindle.
I just ordered it, and I cannot wait to read it.
Well, that was nice. I was going to give you my copy, but we made you a few more bucks, Lindsay.
Mike, hold on to your copy.
I will. Not that I wanted to give it away. I was definitely going to get it back because I use it when I teach classes sometimes. So
I love it.
What? Mike's book is like in perfect condition, and when I get a book, I love to read it, and I fold the pages. I would not have borrowed that book.
Oh, okay.
You got your own. And sometimes I'll even write notes in it. I was online last night and I ordered one, I have one
coming. Good for you.
I'm excited about reading it.
Well, I would love to hear what you think. I would absolutely love it.
I'm going to love it because I read you have all your reviews are excellent. I mean, I'm very excited to read it. And your story is just, it's just amazing.
Are you able to hang on through a break and sit with us for a few more moments?
I absolutely am.
The Pig and Me, a memoir. Lindsay Frucci, the founder, no longer owner because she sold it for a boatload of money, is Pudge Brownies. But then there's the other side of the story that's pretty dramatic as well, that has New Hampshire roots. And we'll share that, Lindsay will, when we come back. It's The Pulse, Food for Thought on WTPL 107.7.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, and you are listening to 107.7 WTPLFM.com, and we are with Lindsay Frucci, the author of The Pig and Me. It's a memoir, and it's just an amazing story from going bankrupt to, knowing that you had to do something for your family and doing it and coming up with this no pudge brownie. So Lindsay, you get to the point where you have some people that are interested in buying your company. So tell us a little bit about that process and how that all kind of came about.
I made a decision. My husband had a major health issue, and it was shortly thereafter that I made the decision. It had been, at that point, 9 years, and I worked 60-hour weeks easily every week. It was, you own your own business, and my office was in my home, so I worked all the time.
Slept, and drank it.
You do. Well, I called it my toddler. I referred to it as my toddler, and it needed constant attention. And I got to a point where I just decided that I had set out, Carol, when I started, that one of my goals was to be able to pay to send my boys to college. And I decided I had pretty much made enough money that I could do that. Along my husband and I together could do that. And therefore, I decided that I was ready to walk away. It's ready to be done. And so I ended up, actually, the company was big enough at that point that I needed help with that because I knew nothing about selling a business. So I ended up hiring a consultant who became a very dear friend to help me with that. And I found someone, a company, independent, family-owned company, very large. At that point, they were a $500 million company based in New Orleans. And they ended up, it was a 18-month process, but they ended up buying it in January of 2005. So it's been a while, 10 years. God, that's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, that is amazing. It really is when I think about it. But yes, it's been 10 years. They've made some changes that I would not have made. But they've really put $0 into advertising and marketing. And the fact that that No Pudge is still out there after 10 years, I take enormous pride in that. I will tell you that because I worked really hard to brand my company, to work with consumers, to create a brand that consumers would recognize and want. And the fact that it's withstood this test of time in this industry, in the grocery industry, is pretty amazing. And I'm proud of that. I really am.
As you should be.
Well, the tough part of the story is what happened afterwards. You and I have discussed this a little bit. A story that I think you have to tell the rest of the story here about some investing that happened here in New Hampshire and kind of set you back again. Share that part of the story, if you would, please.
Sure. I sold No Pudge, made a nice lot of money, and we retired to Wolfboro, New Hampshire. And our investment, the person that we trusted with our retirement investments, was a man by the name of Scott Farah, who was FRM. And if people follow the news, that's ringing a bell. And it turned out he was running, as the Attorney General of New Hampshire stated at the time, the most elaborate Ponzi scheme he'd ever seen. And he stole all our money from us. All of it, all the money that I had sold No Pudge for, the other money that we had set aside for retirement was suddenly gone. And we had to start again. And we were at that point 59 and 60 years old. But we've done it. You know, people moan and groan when they hear that. But it is what it is. You need to face forward, and that's what we did. There was nothing we could do to change what had happened. It was done.
Yeah.
It was over.
And there were a lot of other people as well that were taken in this Ponzi scheme, as I recall. Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, you are probably one of the most resilient people that I know because you've had the ups, the downs. You come back swinging. You are now selling real estate. Is that the Hamptons portion of Long Island?
It is. Yep, it is. It's quite a different world here. But my kids are in New York City. That's how we ended up here. My kids are in New York, and after this whole Ponzi thing hit, we knew we had to sell the house we lived in because it was the only money we had at that point. You know, we thankfully owned our home outright. We were very fortunate. And our boys came home a united front about 3 weeks after this happened and looked at us and said, you know, you need to sell this house anyway. It's time to move. We're established in New York. We're not moving back to New Hampshire at any time soon, and you need to come down and be close to us. We're your family. These were 20-something single boys.
Wow.
So when
what
they say something like that, you go. You know, I mean, my poor husband's attitude was no way in hell, pardon me. But, you know, and we all looked at him and said, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. And it's worked out. You know, things, if you just keep facing forward, you just keep moving forward in the right direction. Things have a way of working out. At least I believe that with all
my
heart.
Have you considered becoming a motivational speaker because you continue to reinvent yourself and you get knocked to the canvas and you get back up? And I can see people wanting to listen to you talk about having a positive attitude. I mean, you are the same woman that I met years ago, and you still have this great positive look on life.
Well, I do. I would... Anybody wants me to speak, just give me a call.
But,
you know,
do you need an agent?
You need an agent,
really,
Lindsay.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to sign up.
I'm sort of, it took a lot of energy, Mike, as you can imagine, to get us packed up and moved out of New Hampshire and sold, that house sold. And then we moved into Brooklyn, into an apartment, rental apartment in Brooklyn. And that took a lot of energy and to get us settled there for a while. And then we decided we couldn't handle summers in the city and needed green space. And we bought a very small estate sale house out here that needed a ton of love. And so that took a lot of energy. And so it's only been, to be frank with you, the last year or probably 8 months that I have felt like, okay, time to breathe, time to move forward, time to have the energy to do something else, to look outward again, instead of focused on family and keeping us our facing forward and moving forward. And so that's when I just started selling real estate out here in October. So as I said, you know, if anybody out there wants to buy the book, please feel free.
Well, we definitely will remind people of that. It was so good to connect with you again, and I'm so glad that you're doing well and you've recovered and your boys are near you and things are good. It's so good to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you again. It really is. And Carol, it was so nice meeting you.
so nice meeting you. Your story is so compelling, and I will not forget you. And I will reach out to you too when I read the book. And I'm very excited to get it. So
I would love to hear what you think. And stay in touch, Mike.
You know I will. I tracked you down this time.
You did, and you know, come visit me. I'm near the beach. It's pretty gorgeous. Oh, not you know, nice. It's not well, like New Hampshire, but it's we don't have any snow on the ground anymore.
Oh, so. You can rub it in.
Yeah,
I used to like this woman, Lindsay. We have to run. We're heading into a break, but we'll be in touch again. Thank you so much.
Take care, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank
bye.
You.
You get the book on Amazon.com and probably select bookstores. The Pig and Me, a memoir from Lindsay Frucci. It's a great story of No Pudge Brownies, New Hampshire roots.
Very good. All right, you are listening to The Pulse, and we are going to go on a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about maple sugar rain.
Yes.
Very fun. So yeah. Stay tuned. Food for Thought. I'll be right back.